thank you for, if you've come to support these who are getting baptized, we thank you for that. And for today's message, you know, I want to give a direct charge to our candidates for baptism. And so you probably don't have a Bible with you. That's okay if you don't. But I want you to take this verse as one to remember from your baptism day, okay? It's Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And if the rest of you would please, take your Bibles and open with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. In just a few minutes, maybe 20 or so, 15, 20 minutes, we are going to begin baptizing these who are gathered on the front row. As I've said, they are being obedient to Christ to get baptized. It's a symbol of what the Spirit of God has already done in their lives. And they are going to, each one of them, tell you their testimony in a brief form. In other words, they're going to answer this question for you. How did that happen? How did it happen, that Joel, that you became a Christian? How did that happen, Ruby, that you became a believer in Jesus Christ? Tell us the story, Caitlin, of how it was that you became a Christian. Gee, Nick, what did the Lord do that you became a believer in Christ? Well, Nate, come on, tell us your story. And Sylvia, what's the story? How did you become a Christian? They're going to all answer that, obviously, from their perspective. But what I want you to know, and what I want you to know in the front row, is God's perspective of how He saved you. God's testimony of how it is that He saved you and why it's so important that you always remember this, all right? So, a baptism verse for you. I'm going to test you in 20 years from now. I'm going to say, what was your baptism verse? And you're going to go, oh, Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Here it is. This is how God saved you. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. There are three answers here to the question, how did God save you? All right? I'm guessing you probably don't have this as part of your testimony that you wrote out. You might. But this is God's side of things. How did God save you? How did it happen? And the first answer is not by your good works. Amen? Not by your good works. No one is ever saved by their good works. That is repeated again and again throughout the Scriptures. All of us have sinned against God our Creator, every single one of us. There is no one here who is not guilty of sin. And every one of us, because of our sins against our Creator God, we, by our sins, have made ourselves deserving only of the punishment for sin, the wages of sin, which is death. No one is saved by good works. If any one of you today started today and said, you know, for the rest of my life, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments, number one, you couldn't do it. And number two, it would not erase all the sinning that you've already done. Do not believe any religion that teaches that you can be saved by good works. Not true. All right? That's why this truth is so important. God saved you. God saved me. God saved us who are here today and are saved. God saved us not by works of righteousness which we have done. That is important, number one, so that you don't fall into false thinking. Foolish thinking. The thinking that, you know, I'm a Christian because God looked down from heaven and He saw how good I was and thought, man, I really want Joel on my team. He's such a good guy. I really got to pick Joel. Wasn't like that, right? Instead, God in His grace chose us in spite of our sin, right? The other reason this truth is so important is that it will keep you from false teaching. There's only two religions in the whole wide world. The religion of human achievement, false religion, and the religion of divine accomplishment, Christianity. Right? The truth is that God, in His grace, justifies ungodly sinners who believe in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 3:24. We all know 3:23. For all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely, can't earn it, can't deserve it. By His grace, it's an unmerited gift, undeserved gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, through faith in Jesus Christ. Four answers to the question, how could any sinner ever be righteous in the sight of a holy God? Freely, by His grace, through the work of Christ on the cross and through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That's the only way anyone can be saved. You cannot be saved by doing good works. So listen, you who are being baptized, always remember, God saved you not by your good works. But, second answer to the question, but according to His mercy. Mercy is the opposite of what? Say it. I'll try it again because I know some of you know this. Mercy is the opposite of justice. Very good. If you go into a courtroom, that's a courtroom term. You go into court, you appear before the judge, the law is there, you have broken the law. And according to justice, the judge would punish you in accordance with your breaking of the law, and whatever the law says is the penalty for that infraction. If God dealt with us according to justice, all of us would be separated away from God forever in a place called hell. And God would not be unjust to do that. God owes us nothing. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God owes mankind nothing. But God is a merciful God. How great is His mercy? You know, this morning, I came in at 6 o'clock to get this baptistry running in the hopes that maybe the water would be warmer than it actually is. It's not bad. It's probably warmer than the river. Anyway, so I took a picture about 7 o'clock, and I sent it to the elders, and I said, oh boy, it's working. And Pastor Rick said, well, how deep is it? So I went and I got this measuring rod. How deep do you think it is, by the way? It's exactly 3 feet. It's like 35 and 3/4 inches. That's how deep the water is, but how deep is God's mercy? Oh, it's so deep. It's, what's that? Never ending, right? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high is God's mercy toward those who fear Him. Yeah, listen, God saved you, number one, not by your good works, but number two, according to His mercy. I think it's 1 Peter 1, I don't want to get it wrong. It's at the beginning of either 1 or 2 Peter, I'm just doing this from memory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has born us again, who has brought us forth, regeneration, according to His abundant mercy. It is the mercy of God by which we are saved. God has chosen not to give you justice. Praise God. Why is that truth so important? Number one, it'll keep you from foolish thinking that somehow God is giving you what you deserve. No, He's doing the opposite of that. He's giving you what you don't deserve, right? It will also keep you from false teaching. There are many false teachers who would tell you that God is a God of justice and that when God saves somebody, that's according to His justice. In fact, some will go so far as to say that if God doesn't save, He's unjust. Not true. God does not owe anyone salvation. God would be absolutely just if He gave everyone the wages of sin. But God, in His great mercy, said this when He revealed His glory to Moses. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. In other words, God is sovereign. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases, and it pleases Him through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to save everyone who believes it. That's how wide is God's mercy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Way to go, Wesley. Man, he's on the ball. Give that guy an extra slice of pizza at lunchtime. Yeah, great job. Third answer to the question. How did God save you? Number one, not by your works, but according to His mercy. And here's the third one that is connected with today, but listen closely. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a mouthful. So the first word here is through the washing. That is not a reference to baptism. Don't believe anyone who says it is. Okay? The washing here is a spiritual washing. In fact, Paul explains it. It's the washing of regeneration. When you're born again, there is a spiritual cleansing that takes place. Jesus spoke this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, right? Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night, very religious man, believed in the Bible, believed in God, believed in heaven, and believed he was on his way there, but he wasn't. How many people are like that today? Religious, but they've never been born again. And what did Jesus? Jesus told that man the truth that needs to be told to all religious people. I see Steve over there. I just preached on this yesterday, didn't I, Steve? Yeah. I preached from John 3 yesterday, the same truth that, listen, so many people are religious, but they're unregenerate. They've never been born again. And Jesus said this truth, unless one is born from above, that's a new birth, right? Unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. When you are born again, that cleanses you. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So he says here, God saved us through the washing of regeneration, which is a work of the Holy Spirit. So the first part of it is a reference to the fact that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been born again. You've been born of the Holy Spirit. You've been regenerated. You're a new creature, right? Whoever's in Christ is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's a second part here. It says he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's actually a word that refers to the ongoing cleansing process of sanctification. For the rest of your life, the God of heaven, by his Spirit and by his word, is going to be cleansing you. Every time you get a little more dirt on yourself from stumbling into sin, right? We all stumble in many ways. God is going to be cleansing you, washing you, sanctifying you, setting you apart to holiness. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is good news, all right? The good news, the central truth is God saved us. Looks at this as a past fact. God rescued us, delivered us from our sins, saved us from the devil, saved us from the pit, saved us into his eternal kingdom. How did he do it? Not by your good works, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and constant renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's one more thing. When did this happen? Well, there's an interesting verse before this. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, he saved us. That verse 4, Titus 3:4, is a reference to the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And it's a statement that, you know what, when Christ came to do the work that God sent him to do, all those who would ever be saved, it was as good as done. Amen. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, that fact that you would be saved was as good as done when Jesus Christ came into this world, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another aspect of that, and it's when you were saved, your eyes were opened to see that you were a sinner and to see that God was kind and loving to sacrifice his son for your sins. That's another sense of the fact that he appeared, right? So listen, God saved you. This is God's testimony. Praise God. This should have an effect on you, right? This truth that he saved you not by your good works, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, this should have an effect on you. And the number one effect that it should have is this. Listen, humility. Titus 3:2 says, "Speak evil of no one, be peaceable and gentle, showing all humility to all people." So you know what that means? It means Taylor, Joel, Ruby, Caitlin, Nick, Nate, Sylvia, no matter who you deal with for the rest of your life, you should show humility. You know why? We're no better than them. If you meet the worst sinner out on the street someday, you and I are no better than that person. We're better off in Jesus Christ. We're way better off in Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sins, the hope of heaven, the promise of eternal life, the Holy Spirit. We're way better off, but we are not better by nature than anyone else. So this truth should help you to have humility towards all men. May you be forever humble. The other effect that it should have is may you be forever grateful. Praise God for his work in Jesus Christ. Praise God for his salvation. And again, if you're here this morning and you're saved, whoo-hoo, hallelujah. Praise God for the work that he's done in your life. But we got a lot of visitors today. Possible that you're here today and you've never been saved. You've never been born again by the Spirit of God. You say, well, how would I know? Well, one evidence that you haven't been saved is if you're living in sin. If you are right now in your life living in unrepentant sin in any fashion, that's a red flag. You've not been saved, right? Because the Bible says whoever's been born of God does not continue in sin. You can't because the seed of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is within you. If you're here this morning and you've been living your life in sin, today's the day for you to be saved. You know how you do that? Call upon the Lord. Say, God, have mercy on me. And he will. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, that's good news. And the Bible also says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. If you call upon Christ today to be saved, guess what? You will never regret that decision. You'll never regret it. So if you've come here today as a visitor and you have not been saved, The Bible says you're still in your sin, but don't leave that way. Don't leave her dirty in sin. Today is the day. Call upon the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Our church, like many Christian churches, has a cross up front today with a little red robe on there. That changes now and then. There's a mystery here. Every once in a while, somebody changes what's on that cross. All right? But today it's red. The cross is a reminder that Jesus Christ, the Son of this God, came into this world to save sinners. And to that end, he sacrificed his life willingly on the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. And the red is a reminder that he shed his holy blood for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. None. And unless you accept the sacrifice of Christ for your sins, you have no life in you. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Not a reference to communion, as we've studied recently in John chapter 6. Jesus Christ was saying, unless you accept, unless you take in fully the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins, then you have no life in you. And yet God wants you to have life. He wants you to live. Let today be the day of salvation for you if you've come here without Christ. All right. We're going to pray. I forget if we're going to sing a song, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and get in the water. And then one by one, Taylor's first, alphabetic order here, one by one, they're going to come. They're going to come into the waters of baptism, share their testimony, and we're going to baptize them. I hope that you'll listen closely to their testimonies. Every single one of them is different, and together they represent the manifold grace and mercy of our eternal God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time of celebration. Thank you for your saving work in the lives of each one who is here before you and before us to be baptized. Thank you, Father, for working in their hearts to this end. May they testify of your grace and exalt you in a manner that's pleasing to you and profitable for us all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.